Welcome to the FI Podcast. On this week's show, we look at how we can give back to society. We discuss why some people are drawn to volunteering to help their communities, and also the benefits that volunteering brings to us and our profession. If you want to attend our next Zoom recording, please look in the show notes for details.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the First Intuition Podcast. My name is Ben Ballman, and as ever, I'm joined by my friend and colleague, David Malthouse. Good evening, Dave.
Evening, Ben. How are you this week?
All right, thank you. For those listening to the podcast, you're doing this, obviously, after we've recorded it, but this is the week where, certainly in our part of the world, the Eastern region, we've got quite a bit of snow on the ground, and I understand you've got more than us, Dave, in Essex.
Yeah, we have got snow here. My kids had a snow day on Monday, which is really odd because their schooling is all remote, but their school said, school's off today, go outside, enjoy the snow. So I had to take the kids outside to have a snowball fight. I got told off being too organized at snowball fighting because I separated them into teams, got them to build ammunition and build a little bunker, and then it was all out war between them. Apparently I should have just let them go nuts and rub each other's faces in the snow, but how was I tonight?
Fantastic. We haven't got quite as much snow. We've got a splattering, a dusting, but we haven't had any school days cancelled, but we're looking forward to half term. And I guess a lot of people listening to this podcast might be listening to it in school half term. So if you are having a half term break, enjoy it, make the most of it. Although in the current conditions that there's not loads that we can do outside of our own houses and areas, but it would just be nice to have a bit of a break from a daily routine and a schedule where we all log on to classes at various times. So enjoy a rest if you are listening to this and you're having a bit of a break for the February half term. But this evening we've got, as ever, a topic to talk about. Myself and Dave were having a chat about potential topics for the podcast, and we thought a nice theme would be using the unique skills that we have got as accounting and finance professionals to do some things to give back to local community, society, and groups in the areas that we live. The thing that got me thinking about this was back at the start of COVID, if we think back to March, April last year, the government announced they wanted people to volunteer for COVID schemes, delivering shopping to vulnerable people, to elderly people, helping people out in the local community, getting more involved in supporting your neighbours. And the government were overwhelmed with people volunteering for that service. In the first couple of weeks, I think the numbers of people volunteering went through the roof, which makes me think people genuinely want to do nice things to give back to their local community, the towns, the cities, the villages, the places that they live in. So we thought this edition of the podcast would make that the topic. Think about ways that we've seen people in our professionals and our own experiences kind of give back. And I thought of the perfect guest to join us this evening. So I will now introduce him. We're joined by Aaron Mortlock. He's a tutor with my team in Cambridge, but he's also an ICAW member and heavily involved in some community projects, some local good causes in our region. So good evening, Aaron. Thank you for joining us.
Evening, Ben. Yeah, thank you very much. I don't know how I live up to a perfect example, though, but I'll try my best.
Fantastic. So before we get into the theme of tonight, myself and Dave, when we have any guests, just like to get a very quick summary of your background, how you got to the position that you're in. Dave usually frames this as your superhero backstory. So if it was the first part of your Aaron feature-length film, how did you get your superpowers and end up in the Avengers or the superhero group that you're in? What's your background, Aaron, briefly, but to give people some perspective of how you've got to where you are today?
Yeah, so my accounting, I guess, background started when I back in school, and I was pretty good at doing multiplication really quickly. And I was like, oh, okay, what stuff could I do where I need numbers that, you know, if I could do it really quickly, would that be good for a job? And so I basically typed in, I think, jobs that need good number skills. And then, yeah, voila, now I am where I am. But yeah, that was a bit of a speed story. So then I kind of did my accounting degree. I thought that was probably the best way to find out if I liked it or not. And then I think one of the big kind of events for me was I did a placement year or year in industry at Deloitte. So I went there, and that was essentially learn everything I like to do and also find out the stuff I really didn't like to do. So that was a great one. And then when I was there, I found essentially that I cared a lot about education. So that was kind of my, if you're going to look at velocity of career, that was where I found it and thought, oh, that's where I could do the most and found the most passion. So that was where I really pushed. And yeah, I don't know if it's a superhero skill, but you'll certainly get a lot more out of me if I'm doing something in the education sector than you would if I was in another sector, but not naming anymore, I would say.
Fantastic. So the theme for tonight is about volunteering, giving back, getting involved, sharing your skills. When we caught up off air, I think very much this was something that was born out at university. It might have been happening in your life before then, but in your uni days, I think you volunteered for a few things and projects. What sort of stuff did you get involved in as a student?
Yeah, when I was a student, I got involved in, I think one of the big ones was peer mentoring. So they started a peer mentoring scheme when I was there. So it was for me as a third year to mentor first year students. And so for me, that was a great chance to give them a bit of knowledge, send them hopefully on a right path, and then also to kind of reinforce what I'd done. Because I did a placement year, I had a gap of a year technically in knowledge. So I thought, oh, it'd be great to kind of brush up on some stuff. So in doing that, I then had to relearn all of my first year notes and also teach them it. So there was this big kind of mass skill gap. And one of them actually, you know, you're trying to impact them in terms of what you kind of all the knowledge you have. And now one of them actually works in internal audit, I think based on my kind of push in that direction, and still works there and still likes it. So that was a good start.
Fantastic. That sounds like a great starting point and something I would encourage people to do. Dave, what's your view on mentoring someone within your team to kind of give something back and hopefully develop them and yourself?
Well, I actually take part in the Anglia Ruskin University student mentoring program. So for the last few years, I've had a undergraduate student who has been fortunately or unfortunately allocated to me, I meet with that student roughly about once a month or so, really to help them to make decisions about where they want to go with their career. So I will start by looking at, you know, do they understand about what different roles look like, about, you know, what kind of jobs they want to pursue, what kind of businesses they want to work for, really try and help them get an idea about where they want to take the next step. And then sometimes it's just then a little bit of mentoring about how they can find those roles. So you've identified that you want to work in industry for a business that makes stuff, or where are those businesses? And once we've established where the kind of perfect business is, how do you go about finding a role there, you know, and just being proactive. So I'm a big fan of those kind of things. It's something that I say I've done for a few years. Partly I do it because I wish someone had done it with me when I was at university, because I had fantastic career advice from my parents all the way through when I was at school. I didn't get that much support when I was actually at university. There was a careers fair and it was like, there's a big hall full of people, go and talk to them. But no one was really there to explain, well, these are the different kind of roles and this is where you go for that particular type of role. It was brilliant if I wanted to join the army, because they had a massive stand and a load of people dressed up as soldiers that wanted to enroll me. But if I wanted to you know, deal derivatives in the city, there wasn't a stand there for that kind of thing. So I think, you know, for me, it's really rewarding just being able to understand what people are going through at university. I find it rewarding doing that. I've also learned a hell of a lot through being a mentor, understanding the struggles that people go through that I don't think you get if you're teaching them something technical. So being a mentor, I found really rewarding. And I would hope that my mentees also, you know, found it at least a little bit helpful.
That's fantastic. And I think that's the first tip for people. Reach out to local colleges, universities, and see if they've got a mentoring program and whether you could get your name down. But you could also look to mentor people internally within your organization. I know lots of our students who are maybe towards their second, third year of a professional qualification are given a new member of staff as a dedicated person to mentor. Aaron and Dave, what sort of benefits do you think for you would you get out of mentoring someone who is going through things that you've experienced 2 or 3 years prior?
I think it's obviously always good to go on your own path in terms of learning and going through mistakes. But I think at the same time, you can kind of set them up nicely for thinking about it. And actually, it gets you to reflect on the stuff that you did that worked well and didn't work well, and maybe kind of reinforces what you might need to give yourself a nudge every so often to improve on. And also, I think that empathy, you know, you've been there, you've gone through it. Some of the things that they're going through that also validate what you might have gone through but never spoken to anyone about.
I think part of that comes from teaching, which I'm sure Dave could chip in as well. I remember as a student sitting there being scared to death of gearing and re-gearing beta factors, horrible stuff from financial management as a student, which actually I've had the opportunity to teach and help people. And I found the second time around when I was going through it with a student mentoring, helping them, it actually really helped clarify my understanding as well. Dave, what's your thoughts?
It was exactly the point I was going to make, Ben, is that it is like teaching, and it's when you teach someone to do something, your knowledge becomes deeper because you understand why people find certain things challenging, and you have to find a different way to explain things, and that strengthens your own knowledge. I've certainly become more knowledgeable as a result of teaching something than I ever was as a student sitting that exam. And you know, I always advise people, if you're struggling with something, try teaching it to someone else, because that will make that understanding a lot deeper. And it's something that from a mentoring perspective, if I'm helping to mentor someone and helps try and guide them through what their career journey might look like, it gives me a chance to evaluate what I actually did and recognize that maybe the things that I did weren't the best way to do things. And it challenges my own ideas about what I've done. So I think, you know, valuable to me being a mentor as well as the person hopefully receiving the advice.
Cool, excellent. So moving on from your uni days, Aaron, you then started work in practice for a Big Four firm you were at, weren't you?
Yeah, Deloitte, yeah. Still a Big Four, I think.
Excellent. And within that role, you were given the opportunity to do some voluntary work. How did that pan out?
Yeah, so I definitely applaud them on this. They gave you a half a day, technically, I think a month. I think it was half a day a month. I took definitely most of it. So they gave you about half a day a month that you could technically commit, so up to half a day. And they would allow you to there's a series of things you could get involved in locally, but you could also kind of submit to do something else. So I was involved in mock interviewing, which in terms of if you ever want to be, you know, good at interviewing at your current work, you know, it's kind of high stakes stuff. You get to have that nice and informal experience with a student. And it also gets you on the other side of being interviewed. And it gets you to really think about what you could do better when you're being interviewed. But also alongside that, there was other charity initiatives. There was a thing called 1 Million Futures, which again was my education hat came out. They had a really nice initiative that was to impact 1 million people's futures. So for me, that really kind of hit home. And so I was one of the lead people in Cambridge for that. And it was a really, really impactful thing that we were tracking along. So I definitely applaud them on that.
Cool. So I think that's probably heading towards tip number two. If you're listening to this working for an employer, I would ask them about the ability to do some voluntary work during work time. I know lots of employers have corporate social responsibility schemes that they will give staff time. It might be something that they are thinking about, but you asking for it might give them the push to do it. Dave, you're a director and business owner at First Intuition. What's your view on giving giving your team some time to do some good causes?
It's something that I'm really keen to encourage. In the past, we've had charities that we have had sponsorship agreements with. So most recently, we chose Mind as the charity that we wanted to sponsor. And a lot of that was because we were recognizing there were more and more cases of students that were suffering from exam anxiety. And I just felt that as a charity, if we could work with a charity that helped raise awareness and helps to give us some training about understanding those kind of things, that would be the most natural fit for us. But it's interesting you asked about what we as a business would do, because I was actually in an interview probably about 2 weeks ago. So we had someone that was coming to us that was interviewing for a position, and I was with one of my fellow directors, and we were asking questions, and we got to the end of the interview, and the interviewee asked us about, do we support charity work, or do we do charity work? And my fellow director almost was quite hesitant about kind of giving any kind of answer, because I think they felt that, well, we don't, you know, overtly have this big charitable program. But then, you know, I then jumped in, as I want to do, and I said that, well, we do a lot of work with schools. We, you know, we go to careers events. We run a summer school, which is, you know, entirely free of charge for anyone that has got any kind of interest in finance. You know, you and I know, Ben, that you know, we spend a lot of our evenings, you know, at the moment running online events for students that we are not going to charge for. And, you know, I don't expect that as a result of, you know, Ben, you and I being here this evening, I'm not going to suddenly do a hard sell and try and sell stuff. You know, I'm doing it for a different reason, because I feel at the moment the best thing that we can do is be there to support students. And I just went through the, and I think, as Laura's just said, we do free revisions for students. We did that because that's the right thing to do. It's not because I want to make a load of money from them, because I'm not going to make any money from them. I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do. And when I went through this list of different things that we do, my other director goes, yeah, we do a lot. We do a lot, but it doesn't feel like we're doing, you know, charity work in terms of, you know, digging up an allotment for old people. But what we're doing is we're using the skills that we have to support the people that we can support. So I massively believe in giving things back and really supporting the community. I believe in using our skills to help to the absolute maximum we possibly can. I'm rubbish at painting. So why would I volunteer to paint a room when I can use other skills that I've got that are far more effective?
So you've both mentioned schools, and I think schools are local to everybody. Everybody lives close to a school. Schools definitely need financial help, guidance, and that's a natural place, I think, for people to go look in. Aaron, you've taken the initiative and have actually put yourself forward to be a governor of a local school. I will confess I'm a governor at my local primary school, primarily because my daughters attended there, but my expectation is I will stay on beyond the time that my children are attending the school to help support them on the governing body. How did you come about getting your role, Aaron, as a governor?
Yeah, so I was looking for a role like that to see how, you know, again, doing as much as I can in education, I really want to understand how schools work, because I was a little bit from the outside. I've done a little bit of work with schools before, but being able to really be at the coalface with the school is something I want to do, and the most obvious thing I could do, because, you know, I'm not a English or reading or writing specialist of any sort, you know, so I thought, well, if I can give some finance skills, I'll see, you know, how much I can help. And so, yeah, it was great to start. I started just before COVID really kicked up around a year ago. So I got quite a different start to my experience. But actually, it was really helpful for me, because I used to have a school governors network at my old employer, and we really talked about the fact that we got a network of people, and I could help new school governors go through that process as well. So I kind of had an impact. Well, I hope I did, and still do, at my school, but also at the workplace that I was at, to help people start on that path to become a school governor.
Cool. So one of the things you mentioned when we were talking is this slight intrepidation of doing it, feeling, do I really have the skills to kind of sit in a governor's meeting? It sounds quite grand, sounds quite official. What's your practical experience of being at those meetings and the value that you can add to them and the school?
Oh, yeah, it's completely kind of blown my mind in terms of stereotypes. Yeah, I thought I need, 30 years experience, board, CEO, all that kind of stuff. But it turns out, pretty quickly you find out where people's knowledge is at and how even just, even a couple of years or 10 years or whatever it is, you're still further ahead because you've specialized in some way in finance. And so they've got, they've got their career and what they've specialized in and what they bring. But it's just such a nice atmosphere to be able to help people. And even just, assume, I always assume people don't understand things and then you're all working from a good base. And then if you do explain things for the people that understand it, it reinforces it. For the people that may have not wanted to say that they don't understand it, it then helps them as well.
And I found it was really useful. I had an induction session as a governor, which I found incredibly useful. But then there's also been a series of additional CPD programs that I've been invited to go to, which I've thoroughly enjoyed and felt it's broadened my knowledge, my horizons, my skills. Any tips for people looking for a potential governor role, Aaron? Where would you go to kind of start the ball rolling?
Yeah, so I went to a website called Inspiring Governance. I then later encouraged my old business to become a member so that everyone could link up in terms of their own staff. But Inspiring Governance is a great website for them. For academy trusts, you have to go directly. But for schools, for state schools particularly, you can go on there, submit the type of skills that you could help with or you think that you could help with, and then they can find you. But equally, you can search for opportunities. So if you don't think there's one on there that's, the perfect fit for you right now, then people will contact you when they need one. So it was really, really simple.
Fantastic. Excellent. But if schools are not your thing, there are also lots of other local charities that would be crying out for some help, some support, some skills that people in the world of accounting and finance can bring. Dave, what's your experience with volunteering for local sports clubs, say?
Almost if you know that I volunteer with local sports clubs, Ben. the thing that I find is that when you become involved in kind of different kind of community activities or community groups, the minute they find out you're an accountant, instantly they'll say, oh, brilliant, you can be treasurer then. And the reality is I've not done any bookkeeping for best part of 20 years. Okay? My bookkeeping skills aren't as well honed as you might expect. But what I am quite good at is I am quite good at kind of organizing the strategy of a business. I'm quite good at looking at systems and processes and how they work and how they interact with each other. So one of the things that I'd just be really careful of is if you are looking at working with some kind of community program, make sure that you're going to be able to use the skills that you feel, are your best skills. Because, I could be I could deal with, cash receipts and things like that, but that's not the best use of my skills. Most people are going to be able to deal with cash receipts and bankings and things like that. But, I was saying the example to you beforehand, is that, yes, you could be there, the person with a tin saying, can you please pay your weekly subs to the football club? Or you could be the person that's saying, well, actually, if you use this system like Go Cardless, you can now set up a direct debit. So those subs are automatically collected and we automatically chase people if they're not paying. That's a better use of my skills than rattling around a tin saying you collect money. So if you're working for those community skills, just make sure that you know the skills that you bring and you're using them, those skills, rather than squeezing into a role that they want you to fit into because they think that it's the right role for you.
Definitely. As regular listeners will know, my wife is also an accountant, and so is Dave's wife, actually. And me and Ellie have been asked over the years to get involved with lots of things around that. And I agree. I think someone does need to keep sight of the finances and count the money and cash it up and make sure it's all there. I think that the bigger piece that, that myself and Ellie have got involved with is maybe looking to develop those processes a bit. We've done it for a while just to get processes in order. I'm thinking AAT level 4 students, this would align perfectly with the stuff you do on internal controls, just looking at the process that the organization has currently got. Maybe you do it for a year or so just to get it working nicely, and then you can hand over to somebody else. But I know as a couple, we've done it in spells for local toddler groups that we've done the books for, local church groups, local sports clubs, as you say, Dave. And I think there is a natural temptation when they find out, oh, Ben and Ellie are accountants, they will look after the cash book and do our end of year accounts for the AGM. And as much as we've done that in spells, it's not the thing that we really enjoy the most. And that's something else to be aware of. If you're doing accounts in your day job, you probably want to see something slightly different in a voluntary role. However, the skills you've got are very sought after, and so use them and offer them carefully would be my advice for that one.
And something that Emma's just put in our chat box, Emma, one of our audience today, is she said that she also gets asked to do self-assessment. And that's something that I do get asked questions about with. And I've been asked it by a number of community groups, is can you help us with our VAT return? We're unsure about whether there are any tax reliefs that we can claim if we put in a new 3G Astro pitch. And for a lot of those things, I have to just say, I'm sorry, I'm not the person to advise. And they said, but you're an accountant, you know this stuff. It's like, my knowledge of tax is good, you know, for an ordinary business making a trading profit. But tax for not-for-profit or for community organisations, for voluntary groups, is very, very different. And so I would go to someone that actually has that specialist knowledge rather than me, who I can advise you if you make a bunch of profit and you're a company, how to pay tax on that profit. But I can't advise you as a not-for-profit how to deal with tax issues. So just be really careful, because you will get asked questions about things that maybe are outside of your skill set. And we all know, you know, our code of ethics as accountants, we shouldn't give advice we're not qualified to do.
Definitely. I've seen that a few times myself as well. I think what we can give, though, is someone to look over that external advice. I would recommend them to go and get the external advice of an accounting expert that, yes, they might have to pay for, but I would be there on their side, reading it, understanding it, and help them to digest and inform a decision on the back of that. And I think that's a subtly different role. It's not giving them the answers, it's helping them understand the professional advice and implications that they've received. Aaron, I would imagine you're relatively similar within the governorship of the school. You're not there expected to make the decisions, but you can maybe give some views on advice and external information that they've got.
Yeah, definitely. Even in terms of things like, well, I had to learn a bit about sports and PE grants and things like that, and how we should or shouldn't spend it. We have to be very careful in what advice we give, because I'm still on a learning path for that school. But in terms of general principles and being able to, I think, understand the language of finance and accountancy, I feel like I can pick it up quicker than kind of a, you know, everyday person.
Perfect. So, as well as the great things we can do for the schools or the other local organisations, I guess there is an element of self-fulfillment that we get as individuals of doing it. So I'd like to just touch on that a bit, Aaron. What do you think you get out of offering those services, the evenings that you go to governors' meetings, the extra emails that you get when they are keeping you informed on things or asking for your view on something? What do you take away from that gives you the energy to keep doing it, I suppose, is the question.
Yeah, and I think for me, when I started doing volunteering, what I found was if people or employers are a bit hesitant, I found that I actually got more energy back from volunteering and then could kind of refill that into work. So I came out after, you know, an hour, 2 hours of doing some volunteering with more energy than I might have had at the middle, you know, in the middle of the afternoon on a typical work day. So there was excuse the kind of account to it, but there is a net benefit there, you know, if we're talking cost benefit. So I always found that, which is, you know, us accountants in our world. But I think bigger picture and purpose, I always wanted to say, well, I wanted to make my impact, and the way I found that was through education. But there's also how can you have impact, and volunteering, mock interviewing, all that stuff was me really kind of at the coalface of helping people, whether accidentally pushing them into a career in internal audit or, you know, advising them, describing finance and accounting, and then going, well, that's definitely the career I don't want. So whichever way it goes, I think for me is having that real impact and continuing to learning all the time.
The other thing I always think is just broadening your own personal network. It's bizarrely quite a small world when you start making connections away from your day-to-day job, but things go full circle, and quite often people I've connected with when I've been at voluntary things have actually then had an impact on my future work, my future career. I know, Dave, you're a big advocate of LinkedIn and social media, and I suppose this is a great way to also broaden your linkage and your presence there.
Nothing beats kind of face-to-face networking, knowing someone, and you're absolutely right, it does put you in a position where you get to meet people that you wouldn't ordinarily meet. And although I don't think we go into any of these things thinking, oh great, I'm going to meet these five people, but naturally you do, and naturally you do build those networks of other people, other professionals. So you know, I know of people that, and I've met through kind of various different community groups, that are kind of lawyers and that are estate agents, and from various different things that I can call upon now because I know them quite well. I know them personally. I call them friends, and it's amazing how you can build those kind of networks of different people, just through your common love of a particular theme or a particular thing.
Fantastic. I suppose to frame this, it is a time commitment. And we need to be sensible with this. We need to make sure that we go into any volunteering with our eyes open on the amount of time, on when things are going to happen. We're all busy in our own lives with our own work, with our own families, with our own study for lots of people listening. Aaron, any tips about going into such roles with your eyes open so you don't overcommit yourself and then let people down, I suppose?
Yeah, I think mentioned Dave's point around networking. If you know someone who does it already, works in it, is thinking about it, that's the bit where you get the real insight of how much time is it going to take, what type of skills do you need, what kind of things do you do, do you need to travel or not? Like now, we can have virtual governor meetings. So getting a real feel for how much time it actually takes, and having that network of people you can draw upon, I think is really, really helpful to kind of set your expectations right from the start.
Cool. I think the final place that we'll finish is thinking about the institutes. Everybody listening, if you're studying, is linked to an institute, be that AAT or ICAW or CEMA or ACCA, and they themselves have got their own network of things that you can volunteer for, you can put your name forward. I've attended a number of AAT branch events in our local region in East Anglia. I also attend some ACCA localized events. Aaron, I know you volunteer for the ICAW committee. What sort of volunteering opportunities do you think the professional bodies give us as accountants?
Yeah, for our local one, we have the ICAW Younger Members Committee, which we have one specifically for East Anglia. And so I just started by going to one of those events when I qualified. I know quite a lot of people, when they qualify, need a little bit of a break, I would say, sometimes from the profession and the exams. But when you come back into it, you make that choice yourself to kind of come back in. I started attending events, and then I became part of the committee. So I help choose which events would be great for people's development, sector events, people to learn about different roles, like we're going to do one around corporate finance soon, for example. So that kind of then gets my impact. And I know for any members, if you're a member, there's the younger members one that I'm part of. But also if you're a student, there's a student committee, but also student events that are there. So for ICAW, that I know that's particularly what happens.
I know an initiative that the ICAW have run in years past, and myself and Dave have been involved, is something they branded as the base events. Dave, do you remember some volunteering we did there?
Absolutely. So I've mentored a number of different teams. It's a business game that the ICW have for schools. So schools can put together teams of, I think it's up to 6 students to work through a kind of a business simulation. There are regional heats, and then it went to a big final that took place, I think, if memory serves, in Birmingham. And I was fortunate enough to actually be helping to mentor teams that went to the final in Birmingham on 2 occasions. And it's a phenomenal event, really, really good, really, really good. Really good fun. I love being involved with the kids and seeing how they thought and kind of going up there and being their representative. And as we talk about the kind of the networking opportunities, is that I did that purely because I wanted to help some schools. And you know, it was my school happened to be successful enough and got through to the final, and I was there mentoring them. And I remember actually being at this event, speaking to one of the ladies who was on the judging panel, and you know, we connected on LinkedIn, and it turns out that she was the head of finance for Disney Europe. And I was kind of like, I never ever would have been in the opportunity to actually connect with that person and you know, just share ideas with them, if I hadn't put myself forward to do that. If I had a closed mindset of, I'm just going to stick to, you know, doing my work in Essex and not put myself out there, I never, ever would have got out there. So, you know, quite amazing what actually happens when you do start putting yourself forward for those kind of things.
Fantastic. Just looking at some of the comments in the chat box from the live audience tonight. Yes, Abby, we were just talking about the base competitions. If you're an ICAW student or member, you will hopefully be given the opportunity at some point to volunteer if you would like to. Abby saying she was involved in it from Hills Road Sixth Form. That's my old Sixth Form college.
That's my alma mater as well, Ben.
Excellent. So that was back in 2019. But clearly, Abby, that's done something to shape you, because you've now gone on and pursued a longer term career in accounting. So it does show that those soft touches back at school, at college, genuinely do spark interests. Fantastic. I also saw another lovely comment from Laura in the chat box about being a committee member with the AAT. She's at the Birmingham branch, but the AAT have branches all over the country. And that's something I know the branch would love it if students volunteered, said, we will come along to events. Ultimately, you sit on the committee, Laura, but that's something that people can potentially look at the opportunities once they start going to the events. But I've always been very impressed with the ones I've been to in Cambridge. As ever, we are getting near the end of this evening's podcast. Aaron, you've been a fantastic guest, and I think certainly one that we would welcome back with open arms for a future episode. Have you got any final thoughts or summings up or things you would like to close on for this evening session?
Apart from being flattered, I think the only comment would be to kind of, like tonight, you kind of get to explain things where you have to translate into, you know, kind of a more standard language, or you have to explain things back where you might never have to explained it before. So as I mentioned with peer mentoring. So for me, that was probably one of the biggest things I got from all of my volunteering stuff, was having to explain things I've never really had to explain before and didn't understand until I explained it.
Cool. Excellent. Well, thank you for joining us. Anybody listening, myself, Dave and Aaron, would love to know if you are volunteering or if you're thinking about it. It would be great to keep us updated if you get any opportunities or things go well for you looking out for it. I would encourage you to look for the opportunities. I think it's something I find incredibly rewarding. It's a break from my day-to-day job, which I think is good. It gives you a bit of a chance to refocus some energy. I think that really helps with your own perspective on life sometimes, to see different things and different experiences. As we've said, it really helped broaden my network of connections in the local area. It's something that can be incredibly powerful if you ever move to a new area and you need to start making a new network. It's a great way to meet other like-minded people from different sectors, backgrounds. Dave, have you got any final thoughts for this evening and closing the episode?
I think that I saw with with Laura's comment, with her being part of the AAT committee, and I know that you've mentioned the other institutes, it's something that I personally feel a responsibility to this industry that we're in, and we are the people right now, and the people that are our students right now are going to be the people of the next 20, 30 years that are really going to shape this industry. And I have got a real kind of, I feel a real responsibility to the next generation to leave this industry in better shape than I found it. And I know that there are certain things that accountants have done in the past that, you know, in some cases haven't been great. When we look at some of the, you know, the business scandals that have happened that accountants have been part of. And I would hope that we're shaping this industry to be better than it was 20, 30, 40 years ago. And I would hope that everyone in this room is going to help to really deliver that forwards in future years, to improve the way that we as accountants are viewed and the way that the industry is for the next generation that are joining us. So I think that it's something we can all be involved in, even if it is just doing our job really well, you know, and behaving ourselves in the job we do, whether it's shaping the industry that we work in through being parts of the industry, but parts of the different industry bodies, or whether it is volunteering and helping other organisations to be run in financially sustainable ways. So I think that, you know, I feel a real responsibility, and if we can do something to help other people to also have that kind of responsibility, I think we're going to leave this industry in a much better state than it currently is in.
Brilliant. Well, as ever, thank you for the live audience that have joined us this evening. It's always brilliant to get your views in the chat box. It really does give us another line of angle to talk about. If you're listening to the podcast, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you go back and check out all of the prior episodes. We're building up quite a library now, so there is other topics that you can go back and explore. Have a great week. Look after yourselves. Stay safe, and we will see you for the next edition of the FI podcast.
Thank you very much for joining us, everyone.